Unto the all-pervading Supreme Personality. Bhagavati. Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tat Bhakteshu. Unto his devotees. Cha. Also. Sadhushu. Unto the saintly persons. Praptaha. When it was achieved. Bhavam. Reverence and devotion. Param. Transcendental. Vishwam. The whole material universe. Yena. By which spiritual consciousness. Idam. This. Lostravat. As insignificant. As a piece of stone. Smritam is accepted by such devotees. Translation. Maharaj Ambarisha was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, and of the saintly persons who were the Lord's devotees. Because of this devotion, he thought of the entire universe as being as insignificant as a piece of stone. So you can repeat. Maharaj Ambarish was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, and of the saintly persons who are the Lord's devotees. Because of this devotion, he thought of the entire universe as being as insignificant as a piece of stone. So there is no purport to this verse, but the next three verses, 18, 19, and 20, are famous verses. So there's a purport to those, and we'll be speaking about that. So we'll just read 18, 19, and 20. Savayamana Krishna Padaravinda Yoho Vacham Sivakunta Gwinana Varnane Karo Hare Ramandira Marjanadishu Shutim Chakarachuta Satkato Daye Makundalingai Laya Darshane Darsho Tadrichagatra Sparshit Parshinga Sangamam Granam Chatatpada Sarojasorabe Srimatulasya Rasanam Tadarpite Apado Hare Shitra Padanusarpane Shiro Rishikesha Padabhi Vandane Kamang Jadashe Natukama Kamyaya Yototama Shloka Jana Shreya Ritaki. So long translation. Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. His words in describing the glories of the Lord, his hands in cleansing the Lord's temple, and his ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. He engaged his eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna, Krishna's temples, and Krishna's places like Mathura and Vrindavana. He engaged his sense of touch in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees. He engaged his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of Tulasi offered to the Lord. And he engaged his tongue in tasting the Lord's prasada. He engaged his legs in walking to the holy places and temples of the Lord, his head in bowing down before the Lord, and all his desires in serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service and various engagements related to the Lord. This is the way to increase attachment for the Lord and be completely free from all material desires. Wow. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In Bhagavad Gita, in the seventh chapter, seventh chapter, text one, the Lord recommends maya shakta mana partha yogam yunjan maya ashrayaha. This indicates that one must execute devotional service under the guidance of a devotee or directly under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not possible, however, to train oneself without guidance from the spiritual master. Therefore, according to the instructions of Srila Rupa Goswami, the first business of a devotee is to accept a bona fide spiritual master who can train him to engage his various senses in rendering transcendental service to the Lord. The Lord also says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, text 1, Asam shayam samagram mam yathag yashasi takshunu. In other words, if one wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in completeness, one must follow the prescriptions given by Krishna by following in the footsteps of Maharaj Ambarisha. It is said, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. Bhakti means to engage the senses in the service of the master of the senses, Krishna, who is called Rishikesh or Achyuta. And these words are used in these verses. Achyuta sat kato diye Rishikesha pada divandane. The words Achyuta and Rishikesha are also used in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna Katha, spoken by Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam is also Krishna Katha, because everything described in the Bhagavatam is in relationship with Krishna. So, Om Ganat Timuranda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam, Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So this is, of course, one of the most important groups of verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And interestingly enough, after this whole description of Maharaj Ambarish engaging all of his senses, both active and perceptive senses, there's actually active senses and perceptive senses. Perceptive senses means the senses, like you can perceive things, like the smelling and the touching, and the tasting and things like that. And then the active senses are like walking and see, and anyway, doing something with your hands. Those are active senses. So there's active senses and perceptive senses. So, interestingly enough, after Prabhupada, or after the verse describes these different activities of Maharaj Ambarish, Prabhupada talks about the spiritual master, which is actually quite interesting. Because the spiritual master's duty is, according to Srila Prabhupada, according to the Vedic literatures, to engage the disciple in Krishna's service according to his psychophysical nature. Now, that means the disciple may not really understand how he's supposed to be engaged in Krishna's service. Just like a child doesn't understand the importance of what? Going to school. Like Srila Prabhupada gave the example that when he was young, he didn't want to go to school. And his mother had to hire someone to drag him to school. So basically, Prabhupada was thinking, as pastime, that, I should stay at home and just play the mridanga and be happy like that. And like kids are thinking like that. Not all kids. I mean, the kids that go to our gurukul are very enthusiastic to go to school. But many times the kids are not enthusiastic. They think, I'm meant to be at home, I'm meant to play, I'm meant to be with mommy, and things like that. And then the kid has to be forced to go to school. And I think most parents have experience when you first send the kid to school, there's crying the first day. I mean, not the Gurukula, but letting you drop the kid off at even kindy. And then the kid is, mommy, mommy. And mommy says, I'm going to come and pick you up, don't worry. Everything will be all right, and then eventually the kid learns to do that. So there has to be training by the spiritual master. And this is the education, because the disciple is like the child, and the spiritual master is the father. Of course, that metaphor is used all the time, like the eternal father, etc., like that. So I'm going to refer to a very interesting verse that I was quoting yesterday for one of my submissive disciples. It's 7:12:1 in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is Narada Muni's instructions and what it means to be trained up. Of course, this particular verse refers to brahmachari life, but the word brahmachari means someone who's dedicated to Brahman. That means serving the Supreme Personality of God. And so the verse is as follows. Brahmachari guru kule vasan. I'm going to translate part by part. Brahmachari guru kule vasan. That a brahmachari, or someone interested in spiritual life, and we're not just talking about the formal order of brahmachari life, but just anyone who's interested in spiritual life, guru kule vasan. That means he goes to the place of the spiritual master, or he makes his home, if he happens to be a grahastha, his home a place of the spiritual master. Brahmachari, guru kule vasan. And then danta. He becomes tamed. Tamed means that generally anantagopir vishatam tamikshram punak punascharita charvananam, as Lord Vishavadu says. And generally people have uncontrolled senses and they keep doing the same thing over and over again with no substantial spiritual result. In other words, they're trying to squeeze some enjoyment out of this material world. And as the example I always give, it's like chewing bubble gum over and over and over again. Okay. And all the flavor, all the sugar has gone out of it. So first thing is vasan danta gurohitam, and then acharam. Then one has to learn actually good behavior, but also acharan, to be a good example, two things. Like a charity. Acharya. Generally it's not translated like that, but it means both of those things. Archayan. And then the most difficult one is Dasavan. Dasavan means, hey, you're a servant. You're not the enjoyer anymore. Because, you know, it's the opposite of Ishwaraham, Aham Bogi, Siddhaham, Balavansuki. So many times people think, I'm the enjoyer of Krishna consciousness. You know, hear this statement. I want the nectar. I'm a nectar hound. A hound is a dog. That comes from Elvis Presley. A famous song by Elvis Presley, which none of you have heard before. I'm a hound dog. It's good to be a nectar hound in Krishna consciousness, but basically dasavan means full of service, ready to do anything. And Prabhupada actually expected that out of his, from his devotees. I mean, sometimes there's that typical example or interesting example where one time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj objected to the situation that Prabhupada had put them in Mumbai, which was Bombay at that particular point. And it was a difficult situation. I mean, talk about difficult situations. There were rats running on the devotees at night. You know, imagine sleeping at night. I don't think any of us has experienced that. That you sleep at night and then all of a sudden you feel this furry thing crawling on you. And it's not our dog, Prasad. You know, our friendly neighborhood Hare Krishna dog here. But it's a rat. And these rats in Mumbai are not just like cute little mouse creatures. They're big. This big. You know, they're maha rats. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj went to Prabhupada and said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we're Westerners, we're Americans. We're meant to have, you know, like doors. You know, there's no doors, obviously. They're living basically in tin sheds out there. And Prabhupada replied in a very interesting fashion. He says, don't you want to get purified, basically? You know, wow. Purification. Of course, the purification is not having rats crawling. If I thought I could get purified by having rats crawling on me, I would go to the pet store and buy some rats. But the purification is following the order of the spiritual master and carrying out the mission of the Supreme Personality God. So that's dasavan. One is a servant. And then another time with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that Prabhupada, you know, famous story. Prabhupada was wanting to send him to China because he had, anyway, somehow or other, there was a ruckus in America because they'd stolen all the poor brahmacharis for the Radha Damodara party, telling the brahmacharis they didn't belong in the temple, they belonged on the Radha Damodara party with sannyasis. And so temple's presidents complained, and basically Prabhupada wanted to send Tamal Krishna Maharaj to China. I'm not going to tell the whole story about how it was actually Tamal Krishna Maharaj's indirect suggestion in the beginning. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, I'm not going. You know, that's something to say to your spiritual master. No. Not really a good idea. But still, he said, I'm not going. And Prabhupada said, well, the only alternative is just stay here in Mayapur. I'm taking all your service away from you. And, of course, he thought about it and then went to China, and there was success in China. I mean, interesting thing in China, I just heard a statement, you know, I was listening to a class of Rita Nandamara. She said when Tamal Krishna Maharaj went to China, he was amazed at how attentive everybody was in China. And he was remarking, this is not like America. Everybody just sits there and listens attentively and takes notes. They're just like focused on what you're saying. Their span of attention is so long. And then he realized the span of attention in China was so long because they didn't have television at that time. They didn't have television, and what to speak of, mobile phones and computers and internet and everything like that. And there's been some studies that as the new technology is gradually introduced, the span of attention diminishes. Actually, it was Hollywood who does the studies because they have to figure out, you know, how many cuts to make in their movie. You know, in other words, they have to cut from one scene to another. If your span of attention is 15 seconds, then they have 15 seconds to cut from one scene to another. But now, it's like on the average of 3 to 6 seconds. So that's why you find the movies nowadays, they're cutting quicker from one scene to another. Just like, boom, 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 boom. And it's so exciting. And then you can't even read afterwards because you can't focus for more than 2 seconds on the Bhagavad Gita. You can't even chant a chapter anymore. So anyway, so that's what dasavan, and nitya also means good behavior. And then guru asudrida, that with great determination, good determination, sudrida means good determined, sudrida, he understands the guru is actually his friend. Now, friend not in the sense of buddy, but friend in the sense of, you know, someone who's doing something for my ultimate welfare, my ultimate benefit. And it takes some surrender, and that's the training that most of us had in the early days of the Krishna conscious movement. And that training will actually keep one in Krishna consciousness, hopefully for their whole lives, and keep one doing service for the mission of the spiritual master. Because as Prabhupada said, when the spiritual master passes away, this is Bhagavatam, fourth canto, part four, if one serves the mission of the spiritual master, then the super soul becomes present before one. In other words, one gets realization. So anyway, and so there's many stories in the Vedic literatures. Of course, I already told some modern stories involving Tamal Krishna Maharaj, but there's many stories in the Vedic literatures that illustrate how important it is to be trained in that particular way. And I'd like to cite one story from the Mahabharata, one that you probably have not heard before. It's not the one about the ditch or the disciple not eating. It's the one about how the disciple was asked to get earrings for his guru's wife. And the disciple's name is Uttanka. It's a very interesting story. So once upon a time, and there's more to the story that I'm not going to tell in the beginning because it's a little racy in the beginning. But anyway, so this Uttanka was serving his spiritual master nicely, and he finished his training with his spiritual master, and he asked his spiritual master, what dakshin would you like to have? What's that? Oh, prasad out there. At least he's a good disciple. So he asked what doctrine would you like to have? And actually, one's supposed to do whatever the spiritual master says when, as far as the doctrine is concerned. So nowadays, of course, doctrine means money. But in those days, it meant a lot of different things. For example, when Krishna asked the spiritual master what doctrine he could get a spiritual master, what did the spiritual master ask for? Does anyone remember?
Recover his son.
That had been lost in the ocean. So Krishna, of course, had that ability. I mean, most of us don't have that ability to recover dead people from the abode of Yamaraj or from the ocean like that. So, but in this particular case, Uttanka asked his spiritual master, spiritual master's name was Veda, which is a nice name for a spiritual master. He asked his spiritual master, what can I do? And the spiritual master asked his wife, you know, what can my disciple do for you? And the wife was a little bit upset with the disciple, but so she wanted to give him a real hard task. She said, I'm going to curse you unless you can get this doctrine within 3 or 4 days. And he said, okay, what's the doctrine? The doctrine was earrings, very special earrings that she wanted to wear. Anyone's heard this story before? No. No. Some of you have heard the story. Very special earrings she wanted to wear for a religious ceremony. You know how ladies like to get dressed up for religious ceremonies. In fact, there's in some certain types of marriages, there's one day, even before the marriages, where the ladies dress up in their finery, and they just, the whole ceremony is just for the ladies to show each other their dresses, or saris in this particular case. So, anyway, so she said, I want these earrings which the king has. And you have to, the king's, of course, the king's wife. King was named Pusha, I believe, yeah. And so you have to get it within 3 or 4 days or else I curse you before the ceremony starts. All right. So he goes out to visit the king, and on the way to visit the king, he runs into a man riding on a bull. And he offers his obeisances. It's probably Lord Shiva. It is Lord Shiva in this story. And then the man says to him that you should eat the dung of the bull. And he says, how can I eat the dung of the bull? And the man says, your spiritual master also did this. So, knowing the spiritual master did something, following in the footsteps of the spiritual master, he ate the dung of the bull. Then he finally came to the king's palace. He told the king, I'd like to have the earrings of your wife's earrings. So the king said, all right, you can go and see her, but there's a particular quality my wife has that no one can see her who's impure. And remember, he's just eaten dung, you know, not exactly the purest thing. But I guess bull dung is pure. So let me say that's a bunch of manure. So anyway, so he goes in to see the king's wife, you know, the queen, and he doesn't see her. And he goes back to the king, and he says, what's happening? And the king said, well, you're not pure. And then, so therefore, he does some of his Vedic rituals and purification and achpan and everything. He becomes pure, sees the queen, and he says to the queen, can I have your earrings? And she says, yes, you can have the earrings for your guru's wife. However, be very, very careful. Because this snake bird, Takshaka, wants to steal these earrings. And so he says, okay, I'll do that. So he takes the earrings, and on the way he goes to the some pond or something to take a bath. And he puts all of his clothes, including the earrings, by the side. Takshaka comes and steals the earrings. And he runs after Takshaka. And Takshaka enters into the earth. Because, you know, snakes can go into the earth. And so he starts digging. And Indra, who happens to be a friend of the spiritual master, helps him by sending a thunderbolt to make a big hole in the earth. And so he follows Takshaka into the snake kingdom. This is his devotion to his guru. Pretty good, isn't it? So he follows Takshaka into the snake kingdom. Goes all the way down. And he says to Takshaka, begins to glorify him, please give back the earrings. And Takshaka says, no way. And then Indra is still helping them at that point, but he doesn't realize that. So there's a horse there and a rider on the horse. The horse happens to be Agni, and Indra is the rider on the horse. And so the rider, who is Indra, says to this Uttanka that you should just blow on the horse. So he blows on the horse, and flames come out of the horse and practically immolates Takshaka and the whole Naga kingdom down there. And Takshaka voluntarily gives back the earrings. And then so he gets the earrings, he goes back, and he says, how can I go back to my guru's wife in time? Because he's already spent like 3.5 days doing this. So Indra, who was actually the rider on the horse, says, just hop on the horse, he'll take you back. This is his determination to serve his guru. Because within the guru's instruction is the success potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, anyway, so he hops on the horse, gets back to his guru's wife, gives her the earrings right at the last moment. She says, I was just getting ready to curse you. And the guru and the wife become very pleased. He gets blessed. And then he goes on to see Maharaj Janamanjaya. Because Maharaj Janamanjaya, his father, Pariksit Maharaj, has been killed by Takshaka. So he goes back, he goes to Maharaj Janamanjaya and encourages Janamanjaya to perform the Sarpa Yajna so that the snakes would be killed, because he's really still angry at Takshaka. So that's a story from the Mahabharata about serving your spiritual master. Now, another story from the Mahabharata is interesting in this regard, because many times people think to accept a spiritual master is just to take initiation. But that's actually, initiation means the beginning. Actually, the real essence of connection to the disciplic succession is Guru Mukha Padma Vapya Chitite Kuriyakit, instructions, following the instructions of the spiritual master. And that's illustrated in the famous story in the Mahabharata of Ekalavya. That, you know, of course, Ekalavya didn't even take initiation. But Ekalavya thought he was initiated, and he didn't follow the instructions of the spiritual master. And so the story of Ekalavya, which most of you know, is as follows. Once upon a time, this Nikshada, this lower class man, wanted to become the disciple of Dronacharya. And Dronacharya, of course, said, you know, I can't accept you because you're not the right quality of caste. And so he began to worship Dronacharya, a deity of Dronacharya, considering himself initiated and taking instruction from the deity or something like that. And it was all concoction. Of course, that story is sometimes used to illustrate the fallacy of the Ritvik philosophy. And so basically, Dronacharya eventually asked him for dakshin, and the dakshin was his thumb. In other words, he wasn't pleasing Dronacharya, he wasn't pleasing Krishna. And ultimately, he was killed in the Battle of Kurukshetra. He fought on Duryodhana's side in the Battle of Kurukshetra. So, therefore, I mean, that's the point. We're stressing the instruction of the spiritual master. Now, sometimes the disciple is thinking, well, I can just approach the Vedic literature, just approach Krishna. Like Prabhupada here says in the purport, that is very interesting, that one must execute devotional service under the guidance of a devotee or directly under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one thinks, the direct guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is here in the Vedic literatures. Wow. Don't need guru. That's sometimes one thinks like that. Of course, there's very few of us who are being directly instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their guru, and those are generally the Brajavasis, Prabhupada said. The Brajavasis have directly Krishna as their guru. Prabhupada compared the Vedic literatures and the instructions of the Acharyas to a pharmacopoeia. A pharmacopoeia means a pharmacy, for those who don't know. In a pharmacy, there's many medicines. Like if you go Recently, I had to pick my own pharmacy. And guess what I picked? Starts with a W. Walmart. So, you know, you go to the Walmart pharmacy, and there's pharmacists there. It's not that you go in to the pharmacy, and you just say, hey, this looks good. Because nowadays we go on the internet, you know, for herbal remedies. But anyway, or one goes and gets some, what are these, essential oils from your favorite multi-level marketer in the community. So that's another issue. But anyway, so one can't go to the pharmacy and pick out all the medicine. I mean, the medicine, hypothetically, you know, for the purposes of this discussion, let's say that all the medicine is good. I'm not saying that. But let's say that hypothetically, to make the point, it's all good. But you not need the pharmacist and you need a doctor. That's probably to give that particular example. You need a doctor to write the prescription and a pharmacist to pick it out of the shelf, or if you're going to a compounding pharmacist, then actually to make the prescription. They used to make prescriptions, actually. Not anymore so much. It's very hard to find a compounding pharmacist anymore, one who makes his own medicine. But anyway, you need both things. And sometimes the doctor makes a mistake. Actually, there's many instances in the hospital, where people die. Actually, it's something like several hundred thousand misprescribed medicines a year in the hospitals in America. And over 10,000 people die every year because of misprescribed medicines in the hospital. That's another issue. But the point I'm making is that one needs the prescription, even though one may have to take medicine that's not so tasty either. It's not that every medicine is tasty. I mean, I was just reading about one particular medicine that I was thinking of taking. Anyway, red rice yeast or something like that. Some of you may have heard about this. And people were talking about how it makes them nauseous. So not that every medicine is tasty, but it has to be prescribed by the doctor and the pharmacist. So that's the necessity of taking instruction from the spiritual master. And that's the point being made here. So any questions or comments? We have about 1 minute left to class.
I have a question about one of the words in the first verse.
In the first verse?
Yeah, the first verse of today, which is
9:17. Is it Los Trabat, you're asking? Where? I don't see. Yeah, if you can look that up, I don't see that word there. I mean, Los Trabat means as insignificant as stone, as Vat means just like. So any questions, other questions? Any surrendered souls? No? Yeah.
And following the order of a spiritual master, would you say that the benefit is entirely just following the order, or in general, is the spiritual master also trying to teach the disciple something?
Yeah, there's two things. One is that the disciple needs to learn something, and the spiritual master knows what they need to learn. I mean, there's different instructions for different disciples, because they're in different types of illusion. Like for one disciple, you know, one may say, you know, stay in the temple and be a brahmacharya. Another disciple may get married. That is the best thing. Take responsibility. That's true. That's one aspect. That's one reason why there's benefit. Another reason why is the Supreme Lord gets pleased. So, yeah, thank you for asking the question. Good question. Saved by the bell. For you. What's that? Oh, you're talking about, yeah, Nietzsche. Generally, that's taken as good behavior. Good behavior, or fixed. You know, fixed. What does it say in the word-by-word translation? Probably says good behavior. Submissive. But it actually means fixed.